Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Time to feed you some football. It's NFL Lunch on Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Let's bring in Daniel Popper from The Athletic. He covers the Chargers out in L.A. Daniel, what's going on?
Not too much. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for making time for us today. And a lot's been made of this coaching matchup. Not, you know, obviously the game will be played by the players, but so much made about this Harbaugh Bowl. We talked to John about it yesterday, and, you know, he kind of reminisced about some of the old days growing up with Jim in the house and the big brotherly rivalries that they've had over time. How has Jim thought about this pending matchup on Monday night?
Yeah, Jim's kind of deflected to the players, wanting it to be about the game and the guys on the field. But the players certainly indicated that this obviously means a little bit more to Jim. You know, you go back to that Super Bowl in the 2012 season, Jim loses to John. And Jim actually brought that up in his press conference today, or earlier this week, I should say. And he said that, you know, walking off that field, he felt like he was going to get another opportunity. And for a long time, that opportunity never came. And he said, by the grace of God, the opportunity is back, and he feels like the team has a shot. So that, I think, was indicative of sort of how he's feeling. But obviously, it's a huge matchup for both teams, just considering the game itself and the layer of the brotherly rivalry certainly adds a lot to this matchup.
Now, injury report, you know, when I look at it, because I watched a film of last week's game, and I saw Cam Hart go out. You know, it must have been in second quarter or whatever, and he didn't practice. Finley didn't practice. McConkie, Denzel Perryman. What do you think for Monday night? Which ones will be there?
Yeah, so Cam Hart is currently in the concussion protocol. So obviously those types of injuries are tricky. It really, you know, varies from player to player in terms of how fast, you know, you're able to come back from a concussion, how fast you're able to move through that. The big one that
where'd he go? Just ready to give us the info.
Yeah, we'll effort to get him back. But yeah, I mean that injury report, granted, it's, you know, with the game being Monday, you never know, and going into the extended weekend, so to speak, for these guys, it's always kind of weird to see who
ends up making it. Because a Thursday is really a Wednesday, which doesn't mean anything because a lot of guys don't practice there. Yeah, Saturday will be the key injury report.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of even on this side of town when you look at guys like Roquan. I mean, he given that extra day, I think does help some of these guys for this Monday night game. Like you said, with Cam Hart being in the concussion protocol, kind of wait and see right there. Looks like we got Daniel back. Daniel, you got us?
Hey, I got you guys. Sorry about that. Can you hear me?
Yeah. We got you.
Okay, cool. So I was on Khalil Mack. He pulled both of his groins in week 9, tried to play through in week 10, ended up sitting out last week against the Bengals week 11. He's a big part of their defense, both as a run defender and pass rusher. They projected him as limited in Thursday's practice. We didn't see him on the field on Wednesday. Thursday was technically just a walkthrough, so that was estimated. So that's the one I'm monitoring. Denzel Perryman dealing with a groin injury. We'll see if he's able to play. But yeah, the big one I'm watching right now is Khalil Mack. And then Ladd McConkey is the other one you mentioned. He hurt his shoulder early in the game, making a catch on the sideline. He actually came back into the game after heading back to the locker room briefly. And as everybody saw, he finished that game, made two huge catches on the game-winning drive there. So I'm not overly concerned about Ladd. We'll be back out of practice today and see if he's back out there. But, you know, the fact that he finished the game is probably an encouraging sign.
We're talking to Daniel Popper from The Athletic. He covers the Chargers. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Daniel, I feel like on a national level, a lot of people looked at the Chargers over the last couple of years as a team with talent, but just poorly coached. And now Jim and a lot of people, you know, they changed things in the front office as well. A lot of changes this offseason, led by Jim Harbaugh taking over as the head coach, has kind of turned this team around pretty quickly. Are you surprised with how quickly it has changed, even with them losing some of their talent on the field as well?
I'm not really surprised. I projected them to finish 10-7 in May. I just felt like bringing in a caliber of coach like Jim Harbaugh was going to get more out of these players. And obviously, like, there's a lot of talented players here. I kind of point to the defense, though. You mentioned sort of the past 3 years. Under the previous regime, they were bad defensively, and they should not have been that bad considering the talent that they have. And I think what you've seen is, you know, Jim Harbaugh comes in. He brings with him Jesse Minter, his defensive coordinator. And Jesse Minter has been able to get way more out of this group of players than the previous regime was able to get. He simplified things. The way he communicates and teaches the defense, I think, is at the highest level in football. And so you're seeing a team that's just way more connected. They communicate way better on the back end. There are far fewer coverage busts and mishaps on the back end. And you talk to players, and they just absolutely love Jesse Minter. And they really point to him as having them prepared and, you know, really being able to call an excellent game, having a feel for when to call certain coverages, certain blitz packages, certain pressure looks during the game. So offensively, they had some success, obviously, with Justin Herbert under the previous regime. But I see the biggest change really defensively. It starts with Jim Harbaugh and the culture that he's building. But I have to give a nod to Jesse Minter and the job that he's done coaching this group of players defensively.
Hey, Daniel, it seems like Giro throwing the ball a lot more, you know, than he did here running the football.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I think a big part of that is they just haven't necessarily been as successful running the ball as I think they hoped coming into the season.
The O-line doesn't knock people off the ball. That's what I saw in film.
Yeah. So they have talent up there. I mean, they got three first-round picks
no doubt.
Up there.
They're good pass blockers more so than run.
Yeah, I think the tackles are excellent.
Yes.
Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt are excellent players. They're well-rounded players. Both are very, very good in pass protection and good run blockers. The issue I see is on the interior. And I think you're exactly right. They just haven't been able to come off the ball consistently. There have been moments in certain games where you've seen it click with these guys on the interior. Bradley Bozeman, obviously a former Raven at center. You've got Zion Johnson at left guard and Trey Pipkins at right guard. The Panthers game in week 2 was a good example. This past week against the Bengals, I thought they were really able to come off the ball. And the timing of the blocking schemes I thought was excellent. But the issue is it's not consistent, especially on the interior. And, you know, you look at the way Justin Herbert is playing right now, and I think they're getting together in those offensive meetings and saying, like, why wouldn't we lean into this guy? Like, he is playing out of his mind right now. And I think the Bengals game was a really good example. That first half that Justin Herbert played, I've watched every game he's ever played. I've covered every game he's ever played in his NFL career. That's probably the best half of football he's ever played. So I think they came out in the second half and they're like, well, we got to just lean into our strengths. Let's put the ball in this guy's hands and see what happens and you know, let him lead us to victory. But, you know, as you get into November, December football, playoff football, you have a lead in the second half. You got to be able to rely on your offensive line to pound the football on the ground. And they just haven't been able to do that successfully this season.
Daniel, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time this afternoon. How can people follow you and keep up with your work?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Daniel R. Popper.
Daniel, appreciate you, man. Enjoy the game on Monday night. We'll talk again down the line.
Thanks, Daniel.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll look at the Week 12 slate as a whole. Time to make our picks. Thursday Night Football is in the books. We'll look ahead to Sunday's game next here on The Fan.
You can pick your friend.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
You can pick your nose.
But there was no pig. There was no pig.
But only Vinny and Haney can pick games.
Football Pick'em. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster on this rainy Friday afternoon here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Coming up at 1:30, we'll get you Vinny's keys to victory. The game is on Monday, but never too early to look ahead. But right now, we'll bring in Quick Draw. Let's get to this Week 12 Pick'em.
All right, before we get started, we'll do a standings update. Mm-hmm. After last night's game, now we didn't do this on the show, but honor system applies here. Vinny had been talking about it all week that he was going Browns, so he gets credit for that. I was locked in on the Steelers, so was Bob before he left. So Vinny now up 3 games on Bob, 11 games on me. As far as this week's games, starting in college with Maryland versus Iowa, the Hawkeyes are 3.5-point favorites here, or 4.5, excuse me. But when Keith Kavanaugh joined us earlier in the show, mentioned some quarterback uncertainty for them. Maybe that's what led Bob here to pick Maryland, but he's going with the Terps. I'm going with Iowa.
I'm going with Iowa, too. I take the Hawkeyes. They always have good defense, and they can run the football, and they'll probably have more fans than the Terps.
Yeah, I'll probably go Iowa as well. I just feel like they're going to do what they always do, which is dominate in the trenches.
Ohio State versus Indiana, maybe the game of the day, at least. I mean, it's 2 top 5 teams, but the spread, not close at all. Ohio State favored by 11 at home in this one. And look, Bob's going with the Buckeyes. I'm going that direction, too. Is anyone daring enough to take Indiana?
No. I'll go with the Buckeyes, too. I mean, Indiana just needs to be close.
Yeah, I think they cover, but I don't think they'll win. I think that spread is a little too big. I'm not the biggest believer in Ohio State this year, but I do think they win at home.
Moving on to BYU and Arizona State, another matchup between two top 25 teams. Arizona State favored by 3 at home in this one, but Bob, if you know him, you kind of know where he's going. He's sleeping on the couch if he doesn't pick BYU, so that's what he did. I'll go with Arizona State, though.
I'm with you, Nolan. I'm going Arizona State, too. They've been hot, and they've been playing good football. And, you know, BYU, they lost, and they should have lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going with Arizona State as well. I said it yesterday. I'm out on BYU, and that continues this week.
And then that should bring us here to our last college game, Notre Dame and Army. Spread here, 14 in favor of Notre Dame. They're ranked 6th. Army ranked 19th, undefeated, 9-0. Do they have a chance? I say no. Bob says no as well.
Yeah, I say Notre Dame. I don't, you know, one-dimensional, that's going to be tough, especially if they get down early. Army, I'm talking.
That's the key for me. If Army gets behind, I just don't think the way that their offense is set up, that they can come back. I'm going with Notre Dame as well.
Over to the NFL, Vikings versus Bears, a little division showdown here. Bears with that new offense. Are they a new-look team? The over-under here is only 39.5, so they're expecting a lot of defense. Minnesota favored by 3.5. I'm going to go with the Bears in this one, actually. I think they pull off the upset at home.
Damn, I'm going Bears, too. I was thinking the exact same thing there. I think, you know, I was just kind of trying to figure out what the weather was going to be. 51. So the weather's not going to be a factor. I think with the Bears, Caleb Williams playing better, I'll take the Bears.
Yeah, I'm going Chicago as well. I feel like we've been watching a slow but steady decline of Sam Darnold over these last few weeks. The turnovers are picking up. I think with that Chicago defense, and it seems like this offense has gotten new life with them moving on from Shane Waldron, I'm going Chicago.
Well, Bob's going to go with the Vikings in that one. We'll move on to Lions versus Colts. I think a lot of people would find this one easy to pick. Detroit favored by 7. They are on the road. I guess it's just a question of, does Detroit have a letdown in them? So far this season, that doesn't appear to be the case.
Now, I'm Detroit. I think they're too fast and too explosive.
Yep, Bob on the Lions, so am I.
I think I'm going with the Colts. I feel like the Colts were able getting Anthony Richardson back out there on the field last week in that win against the Jets. Huge momentum boost. Now they get to come back home. Yeah, they're facing a better team in Detroit, but at some point, Detroit's got to have a letdown type of game. They can't blow everybody out.
Patriots versus Dolphins. The Dolphins at close to full strength now. Once again, they're 4-6 and favored by 7.5 at home against the division opponent here. With that in mind, I mean, once Tua came back, really felt like they thought they have a shot to maybe make a run here, a last-ditch effort at the playoffs. I still like the Dolphins.
Yeah, I do too. Hill got his first touchdown in a while. A-Shane's been playing much better. I like the Dolphins.
Yeah, I'm picking the Dolphins as well.
Full sweep. Bob has Miami as well. Buccaneers versus Giants. I got a feeling this is going to be another sweep.
Yep.
New quarterback for the Giants. Tampa Bay favored by 6 on the road.
Yeah, I'm Tampa Bay. And Mike Evans is going to have a big day.
Yeah, Mike Evans coming back. And I think the Giants players are just showing up so they don't get fined at this point. So, yeah, I'm going Tampa.
Buccaneers across the board. Again, another easy one to pick coming up. Cowboys, Commanders. Maybe give the floor to Cordell on this one, but Bob's got the Commanders, so do I.
It better be. It better be this week, man. It's time to get back on the right track. The offense hasn't looked great since Jaden had that rib injury. They make it sound like he's back to feeling good. He got this 10-day rest. I think they put it to the Cowboys.
Yeah, I got Washington.
10.5 is the spread in that one, but it gets even bigger in this next one. Chiefs-Panthers, Kansas City favored by 11 on the road.
Kansas City, whether they win by, even Carolina's coming off a bye too. I still take Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm going Kansas City as well. Carolina has played better, but yeah, I don't think Kansas City will cover that spread, which isn't breaking news. They rarely cover, but I think Kansas City wins.
Well, these 1 o'clock games are just a disaster because it doesn't end here.
No.
Titans-Texans is your next one. Spread on this. Houston favored by 7.5. They are at home.
I take Houston.
Same.
Yep. Bob and I agree with that. Maybe a difference in opinion here. A division game, Broncos-Raiders. What's the spread? Denver favored by 6 as the road team.
Defense too strong for the Raiders. Denver.
I like Denver as well. The offense is, they're making it happen. The defense is tough. I just don't see any signs of life with the Raiders.
Well, we finally, Bob and I agree, by the way, with the Broncos, get to the exciting games. It took us long enough here. It took till 4:30, but 49ers versus Packers. Niners a little banged up this week. The spread maybe reflects that, but the Packers are at home. They're favored by 3.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Packers, although Love hadn't been playing that great lately. You know, so that would, if he turns the ball over, the Niners have a chance. I think the weather's going to be bad. I think that'll be tough on the Niners. Purdy got a sore shoulder. Leads to the Packers at home.
Yeah, the uncertainty around Brock Purdy is kind of pushing me towards the Packers. You're right, Jordan Love hasn't been great as of late. I like what they do in the run game, though. Josh Jacobs has been really good for them this year. Defense has been solid enough. And that Niners offense just has not looked like the Niners offense really all year. So I'm kind of leaning Green Bay.
Bob's going with the Pack. I'm going to throw an audible here. 49ers for me. I'm 11 games back. I got to make up ground at some point. We can't agree on everything. Cardinals versus Seahawks. Another interesting one here. Arizona favored by 1. Practically a pick 'em here. It is in Seattle. Game is in Seattle.
Yeah. If it was in Arizona, I'd take Arizona. I'm going to take Seattle. Mike McDonald, I think, will get his defense playing. Arizona's throwing the ball well, and Connor's been running the heck out of it. But I'll take Seattle. Is Metcalf back?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take Seattle.
I like Arizona. I'm taking Arizona. Last week was a good win for Seattle. I just don't feel like I can trust Seattle on a week-to-week basis. Like, they're just one of those teams to where they look good this week, and next week you're going to get a totally different version. I like the balance that Arizona plays with on the offensive side of the ball. And defensively, Buda Baker, I've always loved him, but it just seems like that defense is motivated right now. And they're healthy, so I'm going with Arizona.
I've got the Cardinals, so does Bob, and you're right, Cordell. Tough stretch here. Three division games in a row. They lost to the Rams, beat the Niners last week, now the Cardinals. Finally get some relief with the Jets after that. But our final game of the day, Sunday Night Football, Eagles versus Rams. The game is in L.A., but when you turn the TV on, you might not know it. I'm expecting a lot of green there, and Philly is favored by 3 on the road.
Yeah, you know what? Eric at home convinced me to take the Eagles. I was leaning Rams heavily. Now I'm going Eagles. I hope it doesn't come back to bite me.
Yeah, can't flip-flop on this one. I'm going to go with the Eagles. So is Bob.
Yeah, I'm going with the Rams. I mean, for homer purposes, I need the Eagles to lose this game in hopes that the Commanders win. So, yeah, I'm rooting hard for the Rams. And look, they're a different beast at home. We know that. That offense can really look good at home, even though it doesn't always feel like a home game. The key will be, can they get Kyren Williams back going the way that he was for the early part of the season? And man, Jalen Carter, he was a game wrecker last week on Thursday night. He's a stud, but I like the Rams at home. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, let's get to the keys to victory for the Ravens. If the Ravens are going to get back in the win column on Monday night against the Chargers, what do they have to do? Vinny will tell you next here on The Fan.
Vinny and Haney's keys to the game.
We're doing a hell of a job. We're resilient. We're moving on, and we're playing our ass off. It's an NFL football game right here.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan on this Featured Artist Friday. Cordell Woodland in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Monday Night Football. Ravens out in L.A. taking on the Chargers. They're going to win, Vinny. How are they going to do it?
Well, number one, I got secondary stack performances. You know, I thought secondary played pretty well last week. Pretty much contained, you know, the bombs, and there was nobody running free. No, it didn't look like there was any communication errors. Other than Stevens, I thought they tackled well. Washington's going to have to be a big... To me, I'm saying Roquan's not playing, so Washington or Hamilton... One of them's going to be heavily involved in the run game, or both of them are going to be heavily involved in the run game. And, you know, with that, you got to handle play-action pass on first down. And I think that's what they're going to do. But secondary, if stack performance, if they can, you know, duplicate what they did last week, that would be awesome. Number two, contain Herbert running under 25 yards. Last week he had 50-some, 54 in the first half. And he can go. You know, he's a big dude that can run. He's like Josh Allen. So keep him under wraps. And a lot of times when you're rushing, got to stay in your lane. Got to stay in your lane. Because if he sees a crease, he's gone. Mm-hmm. He's going to go. And that's kind of a killer. And they got to account for him. And I'm sure they're practicing that all week long. And it'll be probably similar to what they did with Allen. Number three, less than 6 penalties, no turnovers, which would be a huge upgrade over last week. They got to cut down on the penalties, especially offensive penalties. Got to cut down. And if they're going to return it in the kicking game, you can't hold. You can't block in the back. You know, just get your fundamentals right, do it. But the penalties, that's going to be... If they can, you know, first and 10, second and 6, third and 3, you know, get into that rhythm. And then the next one is rush for over 180. To me, that offense is cranking when they're running it, too. And it may not be early. It may be, you know, in the second half. Or it may be early. I just think this is going to be a game where he's going to have a lot of opportunities to run it. I think they're going to try to run it a lot.
You're talking about Lamar?
I'm talking about Henry. And stuff. But gotcha. I think Lamar's going to be included in that. Mm-hmm. I think Lamar's going to run it more than he's run lately. And the next one is win special teams. I mean, we've been losing special teams. Mm-hmm. It's not only the kicking.
Right.
You know, the return stuff with the penalties and all, you know, all of those, the field position. continue to lose those. So got to make field goals and can't have penalties. And then last but not least, Lamar be Lamar. Last week he wasn't Lamar. The last drive he was Lamar. And if Lamar plays like that, I think we're going to see him, if he's in some of those situations he was in Pittsburgh, he going.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to run. So I think he's going to carry it. Cordell, I would say 8-plus times he's going to run the ball. But he may want to throw it a bunch just to show Giro, hey, I can throw.
And that could be a bad thing for the Ravens because, I mean, we've talked about that a little bit in the past in terms of him potentially maybe wanting to prove people wrong at times about the type of quarterback he is. And the running lanes are there, and he may not take them. Instead, he's holding the ball looking to make something happen downfield. I do envision this as a game where this Ravens offense gets some splash plays. I do foresee them getting some big plays out there. I think they're going to put up some points on this team. I really do.
Well, if Cam, what was it, Cam Ward, the corner?
Yeah. Cam Hart.
Cam Hart can't play. There's a huge drop-off. You know, and I don't think the safeties are great. You know, I think they're two Geno Stones.
Mm-hmm.
They don't run that well, you know. So I think there'll be some opportunities deep in this game.
How much of an issue can Derwin James be for Lamar when you talk about Lamar trying to escape and get out of the pocket and stuff? I mean, I always think back to his rookie year. Granted, he's come a long way since then, but Derwin James was a big part of that defensive game plan that the Chargers had in that playoff game to stop in Lamar. He's kind of that prototype defender that you would like
to
have.
He's a bigger Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah, I've always loved Derwin James when he's healthy, but what type, could he be a guy that, you talk about game wreckers, could he be a guy that wrecks this game?
He very well could be. He'll be heavily involved in the run stuff, but then that's where, you know, play action pass if you want to take some shots. So, yeah, Derwin James is a hell of a player. And can he run stride for stride with Lamar? I haven't seen it enough lately to know how fast he is,
mm-hmm.
you know, or because their linebackers look like they can really go. They look like they're not big,
mm-hmm.
you know, so they look like they can run. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how they play, what Minner's going to do. Because Minner knows Lamar. He's been with the Ravens.
Right.
His dad was here too, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
So they know the personnel fairly well.
You think this is a game where we get Deontay Johnson to, you know, show up in this game in some sort of capacity? Not saying he goes for 100 yards receiving, but do we notice Deontay Johnson in a good way on Monday night?
Better question. Who do we notice more, Keaton Mitchell or Deontay Johnson?
I'd like to see Keaton get out there. I really would.
Me too, especially if Justice has got the concussion stuff. Which one do you think, Norm?
Well, I'd be way more excited to see Keaton.
Me too.
I mean, quite frankly, if Deontay Johnson's contributing, that's great. You'll take any contributions, but I don't think he's a needle mover if he's out there. And, you know, to be honest, in that Steelers game last week, it was almost like early on that they were trying to force him to
look like that. Yeah.
And that, I don't know, I think that should not even be on the Ravens' radar. That's very uncharacteristic for them.
Don't think they were trying to match Tomlin with sending PQ out there for the coin toss and, you know, just put... I like to say that Tomlin knows how to play the mental game. He's not afraid to go low. If you go low, he's going to go lower. I just think he likes to play the mental game with them a little bit. That's, like you said, that's not the Ravens' forte, and I think trying to highlight Deontay Johnson at the start of that game obviously didn't work out for them.
No. And to be totally honest, I mean, especially when you had Tylan Wallace on a heater the week before. You know, I'm more confident that if you throw it to Wallace that he's catching it and going to do something than I am Johnson.
Which is crazy to think at this point. I'm not saying that I disagree with you. Number one, Wallace is unique because, yeah, he had the three catches for, what, a buck 13, whatever it was on that day, and had the huge touchdown. But I almost knew that the next game we weren't going to hear from Tylan Wallace because it's like, as good of a game as he had, and as much as I like Tylan Wallace, I just don't see the Ravens game planning to get Tylan Wallace involved. I just didn't see that happening.
No, but a lot of times in critical situations, they have no problem throwing.
He'll be on the field.
I think he's a good block. Aguilar really sucked blocking last week.
Tylan is one of those. He's like the receiver version of Justice Hill in my mind. He just does whatever they need
him
to do.
Good punt returner.
Yeah.
You know, he'll catch the ball. And Justice Hill, to me, the best thing he does is pass block and then catch the ball out of the backfield. Those two things. Running up inside, I'd much rather have Keaton Mitchell running the ball.
Yeah, I am curious to see as the year goes on if we, you know, how they do decide to start sprinkling Keaton and even Deontay. You know, I do think at some point they are going to try to incorporate him in this offense. He is a unique talent that a lot of teams would love to have a Deontay Johnson if you're going to get him at his best. I think right now it's just so tough to ask these guys to join a new team midseason and play catch up to an offense that at the time was already humming. I mean, he's got to jump aboard a moving train.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And with Keaton, I think, let's say Cordell, that they give it to him fourth or fifth play of the game and he pops for 10, then he's going to get more carries. He's going to get to play more.
That's why I'm a little surprised that we didn't get any Keaton Mitchell on Sunday. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we do see a little bit of him Monday just because he has shown he can be efficient. He can get four carries and end up with like 60 yards on those four carries. I mean, you just never know when he'll pop one. I just think it's kind of time, especially since you're not getting a lot of chunk plays out of your design run plays right now. He'd be a good guy to go to just to kind of open that gate a little bit.
I got no problem with that. I'm a Keaton Mitchell fan.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get to the fun house, wrap things up before Inside Access takes over at 2. That's next here on The Fan.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here talking about last night's game says, I'm still laughing about George Pickens being more concerned with wrestling his defender than trying to find the ball on the Hail Mary at the end. That dude is talented, but just like every talented wide receiver the Steelers draft, a massive head case probably won't get re-signed.
I'm kind of right there with you. I think they've learned their lesson with Antonio Brown, keeping him around too long. So it seems like once that headache gets too big, they get rid of him.
Yeah, he's definitely got some screws loose. I mean, you think a couple weeks ago on the interception rush through in the Commanders game, I mean, he's literally out there just fighting with the defender as the play is still going on. I'll give him that. There's not a single fight I've seen him back down from. Yeah. He's out there looking for a confrontation. But, yeah, I mean, he's got some things to clean up in that regard. The talent is undeniable, but I just have always wondered if the talent is worth the pending headache that comes with him.
He was same way at Georgia.
Yeah.
Same way at Georgia. I mean, he has not changed.
If you're a corner defending him, are you just trying to get in his head early? Just trying to chirp him?
I would. I mean, that's what the Browns corners were doing all night last night. I mean, him and Newsom were going at it a lot in that game. Him and Ward as well. I mean, people know if you just start yapping to him a little bit, he'll definitely chirp back and eventually possibly get himself a penalty.
Howard in Baltimore here says, if the Ravens had fixed the back end of this defense, we're now in good shape. Need to thank Cleveland, of course, for keeping the door open with the win last night. Pittsburgh scored 2 touchdowns in their last 8 quarters. They're showing us who they really are.
And they're going to have to. Pittsburgh's going to have to score next week playing the Bengals. You got to score into the 20s, otherwise you're going to be in trouble. And you know, so it's going to be interesting. I mean, if they lose again next week, and then their schedule gets even tougher.
And to the texter's point, I do think Pittsburgh is kind of showing us who they are, at least offensively, which is why I'm hesitant to fully buy into the Ravens' problems are fixed with this, you know, with this secondary.
No.
I don't know yet. I mean, that Pittsburgh offense clearly isn't much to brag about. The Chargers offense is slightly better, but even that is not the type of offenses that I would deem as something to fear right now. I got to see what this defense starts to look like when they start playing up against some potent offenses again.
Well, what a difference a few days makes. I mean, you talked to us on Monday. A lot of callers were already conceding the division, hanging it up, saying it's wild card or nothing. And now one game later, you know, Ravens. Oh, it's the Ravens division again.
It's crazy.
All right, we'll close with this one here. Talking about the running backs. Texter says, I'd give Keaton Mitchell all of Justice Hill's reps for this week. Let Justice get some rest with that concussion. Make sure he's 100% for the following game. And let's see what Mitchell can really do.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. The only thing is, and I keep saying it, Justice Hill's outstanding pass blocker. And that's critical. You know, I don't think that Keaton is that good a pass blocker. So that's the issue.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know what Keaton can do with the ball in his hands.
Right.
Advantage Keaton if you're going to compare him to Justice Hill. And Justin, to Justin's own credit, he's been really good with the ball in his hands when he does get opportunities. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to make it seem like he's chopped liver. He's been really good when given a chance. I think people just understand the home run ability that Keaton has. But yeah, Vinny, you're right. The pass protection on passing downs is critical. And with Keaton not really being a part of this offense to this point, you got to almost wonder how comfortable is he and the coaches, how comfortable are they with him in the passing protections?
Yeah, I mean, you got Boson, you got Khalil Mack, you got Bud Dupree, you got that number 45. So you got you need to protect your quarterback.
And speaking of those pass rushers there, I mean, in a pinch, maybe Pat Ricard could give you the pass protection in the backfield, but I'm assuming he's going to be chipping, as usual, where Rosengarten's side.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And tight ends will hit somebody on their way out.
Yeah, got to slow those guys down. You don't want it to be a day, especially if Khalil Mack is going to be out there, to where him and Joey Bosa are just living in your backfield. That'll do it for us. Another great one in the books. Appreciate Quick Draw as always. Great job behind the board. All our guests, everybody that called in, all you guys that listen, really appreciate you guys. Don't touch that dial. Inside Access is up next. Have a great weekend. Until next time, class dismissed.